nigga. Let's go.
What's up, world, and welcome back to the Vibes and Stuff podcast, where hip-hop heads discuss hip-hop topics. On this quickie episode, Jamil and myself will be reviewing the latest album from Benny the Butcher, Everybody Can't Go. We'll share our likes, critiques, favorite tracks, and give the album a final 1 to 10 rating. So stay tuned and please enjoy the show.
Yo, what's going on, my brother?
What's happening?
What's good? How you feeling out there?
Thugging it out.
Damn, I don't know what came over me. I said, I might have to postpone this a few minutes, man. I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of my family, my community.
Your community. My listeners. I understand. I do understand.
Like, man, you get to a certain age, and it's just like, bottom dropout. You got to go.
Right.
Ooh, but how you been?
I'm straight. Other than, man, I'm trying to figure out what came down on me so bad. Cause it hit me. I was at work in the middle of the day, like, yeah, this ain't happening. And I came home, and I've been pretty well in bed since I got home from work yesterday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I thought it was the Rona at first. I got a little shook, but wasn't that.
You staying hydrated?
Oh yeah.
Definitely stay hydrated. Yeah, I don't know what it was for me. It's like I'm trying to think what I ate. I ate some cereal today and some fruit strips, and that's pretty much it, you know. But
wow.
Sometimes your stomach is just like get your way to the bathroom.
Right. Immediately.
Right. And I ain't playing with you.
What's on the beats, nigga?
Right. I dream of what? Oh, man. Yo, real quick, before we dive into our first review, to the listeners, we are going to try to get back into giving y'all good quality album reviews when we can. Before we dive into it, dude, have you... What are your thoughts on the whole Megan and Nicki back and forth? I didn't get a chance to get your feedback Monday night, and I was dealing with a skeleton crew, but...
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think, you know, battle on the mic is always good for hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I'm here for that. I feel like I haven't listened to the Nicki track yet, but from what I've heard from it, it seems like she went a little overboard. But it also does not seem like it's gone over very well. Like, I haven't heard anybody except for Vince, quite honestly, say that they liked it. Now, that could be, you know, my algorithm feeding me stuff, but yeah, I haven't heard, you know, things too positive on Nicki's side. And it seemed to me that, you know, for Nicki to be so pressed about what Megan said, when she said, that bar was kind of hard. Y'all ain't mad at Megan, y'all mad at Megan's Law? Like, that was hard. And what you mad for? Like, a hit dog a holler, so...
Yeah, that's the thing, man. That's the thing. It's like, you know, she wanted a couple other niggas harder on the hiss track, and it was just like,
right.
Nicki just immediately started sucking up all the oxygen and making it about her. And, you know, I find it funny that, you know, I don't know if you've seen this latest announcement, like, I forgot the name of the music group, whatever music group Megan is associated with, they just announced some deal with her, some sort of 7-figure deal where she gets to keep her publishing and masters. And then she's also got like this press run coming up, like, you know, on some mainstream shows, mainstream networks. I think she knew all this was coming down the pipe.
Yes.
This deal and this press run. And I think she timed the release of that diss track like perfectly, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, because she knew she had this coming down. So, you know, props to her. But yeah, Nicki, it's like Nicki just, yeah, you ain't made good music, good hip hop, I should say, in 10 years. So,
right.
You know, I don't know. I wasn't expecting much from her in response, but I wasn't expecting that. Like, I assure you, bro. Like, you're not missing nothing if you haven't heard the whole track.
She and Drake kind of suffer from the same thing, though. Like, you want to operate in a pop space, but still covet the respect of hip hop. And I guess that's not different from a lot of artists, but usually it's pop artists that do that. You know what I mean? And I guess it's becoming more and more a thing with hip hop artists seeking out commercial appeal and you know, the one foot in, one foot out thing. And it's like, yo, it can't be that. And the discussion always, you know, devolves into to sales and to money and commercial appeal. And it's like, all right, cool. If that's what the conversation is, that's what the conversation is. But then rock with that, right? Let's talk Forbes list. Let's not talk hip hop. But you don't get to, you know, make pop music and then try to dip your toe back in hip hop. And when it doesn't go over well, retreat back behind your dollars. Like Dave Chappelle in the Oprah sketch.
Right. Oh man, like Stedman, if you left this up for me. Yeah, I was just talking to some heads last night. In fact, you know what? Might have been that pizza I ate. Never get pizza at home, Will, bro. Now that I think about it. But I was talking with some heads last night and they were like, you know, they were basically saying, we were talking about the whole pop versus hip hop thing. It was like a tangential conversation dealing with Drake and Mos Def. And like, I was telling them like, yeah, there's technically nothing wrong with being labeled pop, especially if you've made a conscious pivot toward that. But what I was saying, what hip hop fans don't like is when other people call you out on it and you want to act brand new.
Right.
When you know, when everyone knows all along, like, that's what you do. Like, do you do it well? Yes. But let's not act like you're doing the same thing other rappers who came before you, who might be criticizing you now, or have done or are doing currently. Like,
just
we all see it, bro. Like, don't try to pull the wool over our eyes. That's all I'm saying, you know?
Exactly. I think, too, that what it comes down to in a lot of cases, too, is, you know, the argument that I've heard people make is, oh, well, you know, these lesser selling artists are just hating, and if they could do what, you know, the Drakes and the Nicki Minajs of the world were doing, then they would. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Like, yeah, there is something to that, right? It's very difficult to make a pop record and to carve out that lane. Like, that's not easy. If everybody could do it, then everybody would do it. But there is something to an artist's integrity and his or her creative vision. And I think that the idea is, yo, I'm gonna put this out to the world, and yes, I would like for my vision to be commercially successful, but I do not want to water down what I'm putting out in the world for that. Like, I choose to keep the integrity to what I wanted to put out. Like, this is my product, this is my vision. And it'll sell what it sells. And yeah, if I whitewash it a little bit, then I could be more commercially successful. But that's not what I'm on.
Yeah, yeah. And the other part of the conversation that everybody wants to ignore is that there's a difference between popularity and greatness.
Absolutely.
It just is. And it's like, just because a lot of people like something doesn't make it great. And in fact, like, you can make the argument, or at least I can make the argument, that like, it can make stuff less cool. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The more hands are on it, the more people something belongs to, it does kind of make it less cool. It's like, you can't ignore the cool factor that when a certain artist or when a certain artist is not known by everybody, and it's like, only people in a particular scene or in a particular know are up on a certain artist. And like, it there is a certain coolness to that. It just is.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like, there's a certain coolness. Like, take Jewelry, for instance. It's like, there are certain pieces of jewelry that are just standard pieces of jewelry. Okay. Like, whether you're talking rings, watches, necklaces, but when you see somebody with something different and unique to them and their personality, it makes that piece of jewelry way cooler than if everybody had one. Like, yes. For instance, like the Jesus piece. It's like, Jesus pieces have been around, the same Jesus pieces have been around since the early 90s, you know? So it's like, when cats were still rocking them in the 2000s, it's like, You know, but then a nigga pop up with an eagle on his arm. It's like, whoa, I've never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, there's a difference between something being popular and something being great, you know, and that's what people tend to not want to acknowledge, you know? So.
Absolutely. It's McDonald's versus Au Cheval, right?
Yeah.
Like McDonald's is absolutely going to outsell Au Cheval 10 times out of 10 because it's popular, it's convenient, it's accessible. Doesn't mean it's better.
Exactly. All right. So let's get into this review, man. First album review of the year, man. 2024 has delivered us some dope cuts, man.
Yeah, man.
So far. Benny the Butcher, man. Let's get into him first. Benny the Butcher, one third of Griselda, because it's more than just three of them, but one third of the original collective of Griselda. He just released his fourth studio album, Everybody Can't Go. This is actually his debut album on Def Jam. I hate how they, like, when you look this stuff up, they disregard his other releases because they weren't released on major labels. It's like, where's Tana Talk 3? Where's Burden of Proof? But whatever. But this album clocks in at 40 minutes and 12 tracks. Was produced by Hit Boy and The Alchemist. They split up the production credits 6 and 6 between the two of them. And it features appearances from Lil Wayne, Snoop Dogg, Stove Guy Cooks, Armani Caesar, West Side Gun, Conway the Machine, Jadakiss, Babyface Ray, and Peezy. And let's get into it, man. How did this album meet your ears? What were your expectations for it? And did it meet your expectations?
I was very, very, very excited about it. I didn't know he was signed to Def Jam. I mean, that wouldn't have meant anything one way or the other to me. It's 2024. Like, Def Jam don't really mean the same thing it used to, but...
Right.
I was excited about the project, though. Benny is, you know, like the last maybe 6 or 7 years, like, he's that guy. He's one of those dudes, you know, that's really been... kind of carrying the culture. Like, we, you know, Vibes and Stuff is definitely pro Griselda, and we shout them out a lot, and Benny is in many ways the face of that. And it's not that Conway and Westside and the rest of the collective aren't also bringing heat, but Benny seems to be the one that is like front facing the most. So man, I was like, yeah, let's get it. And I was not disappointed. I think this was a really good project. I might have made a few tweaks here or there, but that's me nitpicking. Like, for instance, Jermaine's Graduation is a dope song. I wouldn't have made that my opener.
I agree.
Especially when you coming right behind that with Bron. Like, Bron should have been the opener.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
But it's not to say that either of those tracks were bad. They were good. They were all... almost all. I think I got one skip on there, which I think that's fair. And that may come down to personal taste more than anything else. I appreciate the introspection. I always do. Got a lot of basketball references on here too, which was right up my alley. Like, a lot of them. So I'm like, yeah, this is my dude. And man, Butcher coming, nigga. Butcher here.
Right, yeah, Butcher's here. Yeah, for me, I was excited for this, man. You know, it's been, what, 2 years since the last Benny release?
I think so.
Yeah, because Tana Talk 4 was 2022.
Yeah,
and,
wow.
And so, he's right on time with this release. I was very excited when I saw that it was Alchemist and Hit-Boy hold down the production. Alchemist has been on a tear lately, and... Hit-Boy ain't been too shabby lately either. You know what I mean?
I was just gonna say that. Not to cut you off, bro. I meant to say that, and I forgot about it. Hit-Boy has really been impressing me lately. Like, not just with the Nas run. Now that's its own animal, but he ain't quite such an Alchemist. But Hit-Boy been on a tear. Like, he is knocking it out the park.
Absolutely. So. I mean, he kept the formula simple, which I love. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit, I was a little worried when I saw the guest appearance. It was some of the guest appearances. course, I wasn't too worried about the Griselda cats, but when I saw Lil Wayne and Snoop Dogg on there, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I'll reserve, you know, I hold off judgment. Glad I did, because the Lil Wayne track was very decent, and the Snoop Dogg track to me, which was, I was worried about the most, actually turned out to be one of my favorite songs on here. Like, they make a great combination.
Yes, Snoop sound rejuvenated on that.
He did. He did. He did. Like, Griselda seems to have that effect on cats in the game. So, yeah, this was a solid release, man. 12 slim, a nice concise 12 tracks. Benny is doing what he always does, opening up his world to us, telling us what he's been through, how much he's come up in the game, how much he's improved as a rapper, what he used to be doing in the streets, you know, and just flexing on cats and dropping street gems and, you know, showing us how, you know, just how good of a product he himself is, you know. I think that out of all the cats in Griselda, Benny is definitely the most resilient one, or I shouldn't say resilient, versatile. He's the most versatile of them. Like, if any one of them has mainstream appeal, it's him.
Yeah, Benny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely Benny, and he proves that, you know, on track after track. Like, I definitely liked this more than Tana Talk 4. Felt it was a little bit more consistent than Tana Talk 4. Tana Talk 4, don't get me wrong, got some dope cuts on it, and I might even like it more than Burden of Proof, but I would have to go back and listen to it. This and Burden of Proof are about neck and neck. Like, I to me, nothing is touching Tana Talk 3 yet. That was Benny at his rawest, at his best. But yeah, I like this, man. I like this. Do you have any complaints about the album? Because I've heard some critiques of this.
I have not a lot. I mean, I gave the one, right? I feel like the sequencing could have been better with that. Also, the Lil Wayne joint. I had to ask myself, did Stove God write that hook? Because that sounds like Stove God to me. Big dog.
You might, yeah, now that you mention
it. Big talk. Bum, 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 big. Like, yeah, that sounds like Stove to me.
That's a good point. I didn't think of him when I heard that hook. I just thought he was doing something different.
Which he might have been.
But you're right. That would not surprise me.
And also, it's just a hook, so it ain't like it's a that big a deal, honestly. But it was a question. I had that, and Everybody Can't Go. Like, I need to know who this Kyle Banks cat is. Like, is that one of his artists? Because if it is, cool, I get it. But if he's not one of your artists, he needs not to be here. I feel like he kind of killed that one for me.
Yeah, I wasn't terribly impressed with him. No, I wasn't.
Nah. I think the idea was to evoke some kind of emotion or soul out of the track, but he just didn't quite deliver. Like, and you got the budget, so you could have threw somebody else on there that had did it.
Yeah, and the track with what's his name, Peasy.
Yeah, that one.
I didn't. Yeah, that's one critique I have of a lot of Griselda projects. It's like, they give us such great quality work, and then when it comes to album closers, they kind of end on a whimper, you know what I mean? And like,
consistently, yeah.
This album was no different. I'm like, who is this Peasy dude? Like, why is his voice the last one I'm hearing on here? Like, yeah, I could have done without that. And I totally agree. I do think Brian should have been the intro. But the rest of the album, man, the rest of the album is solid, man. Trust is more valuable than love.
That was crazy, man.
With those three different Alchemist beats, like, oh my God. Like,
the last verse is probably my favorite on there, too. When he, the little bit of tongue in cheek talking about his situation.
Yeah. I'm really fond of that track. I'm hearing a lot of people complaining about Benny's lack of quote unquote growth. But I really think what they mean to say is like Benny's lack of selling out. It's like Benny is never going to be a Rick Ross. He's never going to be a Jay-Z. He's never going to be a Lil Wayne. You know, Griselda just, they do what they do, and they do it at a consistent and high level, and they know their audience. So it's like, I get annoyed when I hear people say, oh, Benny let us down with this one, or...
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, let us down? Like, what
this
album?
Is fire.
Yeah, you talking about. It's like, it's like they're looking for something. They're looking for him to deliver something that is just not in his DNA to deliver. And I think specifically they're looking for some sort of crossover hit or some album to go super plat. Because that's the other thing. Like, they talk about the streaming numbers and, oh, it didn't perform as well as this person's album or that person's album. And it's like, is that what y'all are talking about? Streaming numbers? Are y'all talking about, you know, gold and platinum status? Right. Like, what is it y'all feel Benny has not delivered on? No.
And I don't respect streaming numbers. Like, that stuff gets so easily manipulated.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you ever look at the list of, like, the most streamable or the most streamed song just broken down from hip-hop, out of, let's say, the top 10, I just saw this list recently, out of the top 10, like, I want to say... six of them I'd never heard before.
Oh, wow.
It's like XXXTentacion and Juice WRLD, and obviously Drake is up there, Eminem. So those, like, the Drake and Eminem tracks were the ones I was familiar with, but there's a bunch of other stuff that I just, like, hadn't heard. And I guess the way that those streams count, you get 5 seconds. That's a stream. So apparently there's a way to, if you can get your stream or get your track attached to, like, those pop-up ads that you'll get in between videos on YouTube or whatever, you can skip it after 5 seconds. But if you go the 5 seconds and then skip the ad, that's a stream.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow.
So it's like, yeah, of course then that would, you know, blow up those kind of numbers. Anyway, I'm not to bash the current technology, but just that's not what I look at to solidify somebody's respect in the game.
So tell me this, when you scroll through an album, say on YouTube Music, or you're scrolling through the site, you know how, like, it plays the video even without you clicking on it? Does that count as a stream?
I gotta assume so, the way that it was explained, because it's being played. Huh. Which is, to me, says that's a really easy way for a label, you know, with the resources to push their artists forward. Just payola by another name. Just cutting the DJ out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. It's kind of cheating.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that
which, I mean, get you right. You're stealing from me.
Right. It's like, I did not agree to watch this, you know?
Right. But my thing is, get your money, but you're not able to use that as a way to boost your argument for your own greatness. Like, it's artificial.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. My only other real critique of this album is that replay value. I kind of, if I'm in the mood for some Benny Pauls, there might be other projects of his that I'll reach for before this one. But I will say this, it has gotten better the more I've listened to it. When I listened to it, I thought it was just okay. You know what I'm saying? There were definitely tracks that stood out. I thought it was just okay. But the more I've listened to it, the better I feel about the project as a whole. You know, and Benny, like I said, Benny continues to show his versatility. Like, he can rap over some pretty dope beats outside of the typical aggressive dark Griselda sound that he first was, like, rapping over. And I do kind of prefer that version of Benny to this one. Not that we didn't get that. I think with tracks like Buffalo Kitchen Club and Trust Is More Valuable Than Love, we still get that darker side of that dark Griselda flavor that we're used to from him. But when it comes to replay value, it's like, there's a lot of songs on here where it's like I feel that he's giving me game that he's given me before. And you know, he's swimming in familiar waters, which is fine, which is totally fine. I worry about how it stacks up. It's going to stack up. 2020 is always hindsight, but I worry about how it's going to stack up compared to some of his other projects. And is this going to be, when I'm in a mood for some Benny, like, is this going to be the album I reach for, you know?
Right.
So the only time will tell. Only time will tell. It's like, there's nothing on here that I just absolutely hate. But it's like, this is kind of, you know, I'm used to hearing this from Benny, I should say.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say that it's a disappointment in line with what some of the other folks we was talking to had mentioned. But I think it is because of Benny's potential for like more commercial success, because you can kind of see that, right? He can move in those spaces like a Ross could if he so chose. But it goes back to the earlier part of the conversation we had. He's making a choice. This is the lane I'm gonna occupy. Like, yeah, I could do that, but at what cost? And how much of my artistic vision do I have to compromise in order to get to that?
Right. So yeah, exactly. So he hasn't compromised on anything, really.
I don't think so.
It's just, you know, I guess you could say familiarity breeds contempt for some people. And maybe that's why they're saying this album, where they felt this album was disappointing. But I don't know. I disagree. I think he gave me exactly what I wanted to hear from him. You know, especially with these particular guest appearances and with the production. It's like, it's funny, like when as the songs played out, I knew the tracks Hit Boy produced without even looking at the credits, and I knew the tracks Alchemist produced without even looking at the credits. Oh, and I guessed them all right, like 100%. So that was cool. But man, 1 to 10 rating, bro. What would you give Everybody Can't Go?
I'm gonna give it a solid 8.5. Great album, not perfect.
Okay. All right. I'm about to play the role of you today, man. I'm giving it a 7.5 out of 10.
Ooh.
And I kicked it up a notch from my original score of 7 out of 10. Reason I'm giving it a 7.5 out of 10 is because I just frankly, like, I don't know how it's going to age. And I have a feeling it's going to age very well, especially with the production on here. I just don't know if time will tell how much I revisit this project as the year plays out. But I feel very comfortable giving it a strong 7.5 out of 10. I have an issue with the intro, have an issue with the outro, and that's basically it. And I wondered, like I said, I'm a little suspicious as to the replay value of this particular project.
I could see that, maybe in its totality, but there's a bunch of tracks on here that I would absolutely be revisiting. Like maybe as part of a playlist, even if I don't come back and listen to the whole project in its completion.
Yeah. Give me your favorite 5 tracks.
I got Bron, How to Rap, Trust More Valuable Than Love, Big Dog, and Back Again.
Oh wow. Okay, you got 4 out of 5 I had.
Oh wow.
I got Trust More Valuable Than Love. That's my favorite track, hands down. I got Back Again. I got Buffalo Kitchen Club with Armani Caesar. I love that beat. Classic, yeah. Classic Griselda sound. Stella Verse from Armani. I got Bron, and I got How to Rap. Yeah, How to Rap. So, man, so Jamil's giving a riding with an 8.5 out of 10. I'm riding with a 7.5 out of 10. It's safe to say we both were very fond of this project, but check it out yourself. It is most definitely worth checking out if you're into this brand of hip hop. And I look forward to hearing more from Benny, man, throughout the year. I mean, Griselda, period. But this album is another bullet in their gun. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they continue to build up an impressive resume as a label and as a crew, and he continues to build up a resume as a dope artist as well, and a dope MC. So, yeah, there you have it. Anything you've been bumping of note?
I was bumping Kid T Ghost the other day, just randomly.
Okay.
Even though Kanye's supposed to be on my no playlist.
I might have to listen to that again, because like I just did not see the hype with Kid T Ghost.
I think with some distance away from it, you might be able to appreciate it a little more.
Maybe, but yeah, I just was not feeling it. What was I bumping lately? I was bumping Smith and Wesson to Shining. Just felt like throwing it on. Absolutely. Some great ride music too. Yeah. That's one of the things I've been bumping. So that is the review. So, you know, there y'all have it. We will be back very shortly with another album review. So y'all stay tuned for that. And with that, we're going to close this one out.
Peace. Baby, get gay, baby, shit, rock the full moons, my hand pull, heavy, ebony, got my whole tin smothered in marine, sexy crack in my saloon drawers, niggas got wet, none of them know me, Mason Charles, Mason Martella stores, Macintosh, catalog, the inner shit, and my sweaty gold, let you all have it, nigga, hanging out the shit, feel the short grass, and had to throw the working ass, and every verse we want for that, to your jacket, one of one, left with the moon, came back with the sun. Oh, some niggas done. I shoot it, don't shoot unless it has drums.